till all my sleeves are. Welcome to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pesca. Tonight on the show, we'll be talking about the Oscars, Charlie Sheen, some of the NHL trade deadline news, and our special guests tonight are the band members from Tallulah Darling in studio with me to talk about their work and their latest EP. So as everybody knows, the Oscars happened on Sunday. It's worth mentioning that Natalie Portman took home Best Actress for her role in Black Swan, and Best Actor went to Colin Firth from The King's Speech. King's Speech also won Best Picture. And this kind of leads me into my talk about Charlie Sheen. I've never really liked him. Kind of thought he's just weird, but, you know, now he's definitely weird because you hear everything that I've heard lately about him and, you know, his drug use and him saying I'm not on drugs and then, you know, making weird statements with TMZ and calling out his writers. I find this to be just, I don't know, it's sad to see somebody like that happen to somebody, just kind of mess his whole life up. But I never really liked him. I never thought he was that funny. And I find that the writing in 2.5 Men is more not from him. Like, obviously he doesn't write the show, and I think that's why the show is so funny, because I think an actor like John Cryer does such a fantastic job playing Alan as Charlie's brother. And I think that because of Sheen, you know, it's just been a distraction on the show and off the show. And, you know, I think CBS obviously said the way they've had enough because they canceled the show. And he's just kind of been really rude, and now his publicist is fired. And so I just, you know, what I'm trying to say is I don't think that he, you know, I think he needs help. And it's pretty obvious he's had a history of violence against women and, you know, alcohol and substance abuse. And he needs help, and he's not getting it. And it's just sickening to hear every single day now what seems to be something new coming from this guy. And it's just tough to watch, I guess, because, you know, he's Martin Sheen's kid. And I remember Charlie in the role when he was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off at the very end of the movie there, where he's in the prison, or he's in the police station. So, I mean, it's just interesting to, you know, hear this stuff, and it's too bad. I never really liked the guy. I never thought he was funny, but, you know, it sucks that, you know, he's got to go through that. But at the end, I don't feel for him. I don't feel for him. I mean, it's his choice. I mean, he chose to beat his wife and, you know, abuse women and abuse alcohol and abuse substances, and that's his choice. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking a bit about the NHL trade deadline that just passed, and we're going to talk about the one-year anniversary of the Golden Goal. That's right, it was 1 year ago yesterday that Crosby scored the goal for Canada, and many Canadians felt very proud by that moment, including myself. So we're going to kick off this musical segment with One Republic's Secrets. It's a good song, so here it is.
Another story, something to get off my chest. My life is kind of boring, need something that I can confess. Till all my sleeves are stained red from all the truth that I've said. Come by it honestly, I swear. Thought you saw me wink, no, I've been on the brink. So tell me what you want to hear. We got this far.
summertime blues. Jump up and down in my blue suede shoes. Hey, did you rock and roll? Rock on. And where do we go from here? Which is the way?
All right, welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescott. It's 7:47 here in the studio. So yesterday was the trade deadline day, and that's always an exciting day for anybody who's a big hockey fan because it's like Christmas, but it's not Christmas if you're a big fan of hockey. But nothing happened yesterday. It was kind of disappointing. I mean, I sat around and I, you know, had my iPod out and I was, you know, waiting for updates and nothing happened. And it's usually such a very busy day in hockey where everybody's getting traded and this and that, and it just gets crazier as the hours go on. But nothing happened. The Maple Leafs only really did one thing, and that was they moved John Mitchell for a seventh-round pick to the Rangers. Biggest deal went for Edmonton, anyway. They moved Dustin Penner to the Kings for a first-round pick. And the Devils moved Jason Arnott to Washington. They got a second-round pick out of that. And I personally thought this was so boring because I'm usually so excited to watch this. And I've been listening to these things for the last 10 or so years, and it's been so exciting. And you sit there, you don't want to go to school. You just, like, you know, you have schoolwork. And I'd be like, I can remember sitting at school and just, like, not wanting to do work and just thinking, okay, well, it's time to, you know, go home and watch TV, or I'd skip class and go watch TV and just watch the deadlines and hear all the trades. But I'm just kind of glad, actually, that it wasn't that busy because I had so much to do. But at the same time, it was really boring, and I feel bad for the people who have these 10-hour-long shows about NHL trades, and they got to fill it with nothing. It's just like, well, this guy's got traded, so let's talk about him. Let's talk about Chris Gamboli and what he did for Ottawa and blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, it is exciting, and I think the reason that this year wasn't that busy is because so many teams are so close to making the playoffs. They're 2 points back. You got the West, and there's about three teams within, you know, 2 points of making the playoffs. And I think that really made a lot of teams think, all right, well, you know, let's just stay course here and see what happens. And this year, the trade deadline's been a lot earlier than previous years. So I think that's a big factor in what teams are going to do and why teams didn't do anything, or why some teams did a lot. Like Florida moved out everybody they pretty much had. And that's because they're sitting about 7 points back, and I don't think they see themselves competing, so they wanted to rebuild. But it's just one of those things where teams looking to rebuild, you know, decide to sell, and most teams that, you know, were on the bubble didn't want to do anything because they figured, you know, let's just go for it and see what happens. So it was an interesting day, a disappointing day if you're a big hockey fan and you want to see a lot of moves. I thought the Leafs would do a little more, but they didn't, and that's probably a good thing, actually, because the Leafs have a pretty solid lineup. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they'll come close. And really, if you're a Leaf fan, the whole goal this year is to just stay out of the bottom half of the table, because you don't want Boston getting that overall, that first round pick or that lottery pick, and getting another high draft pick again. So personally, I think the Leafs did a fine job. I mean, moving out Mitchell, you know, kind of a nothing deal, but they did get a seventh round pick for him, and they give Mitchell a chance to play somewhere else. So this leads into my next topic, and that is Sidney Crosby. Yes, he scored the golden goal last year, and that was one year ago yesterday that he scored the goal. And I remember where I was. I remember sitting in my basement watching it, and I remember when Zach Parise tied up the game and it went into overtime. It was just this feeling like something was so horribly wrong in Canada, because you'd go outside and like no one was partying and no one was making noise, and then when Crosby got that goal, it was just like this place just erupted, and it was awesome. And it was nice to see a lot of patriotic fans out there, and people just, you know, sporting Canada jerseys and, you know, being proud to be Canadian. And it was just a moment in history in Canada that I think we should never forget, just because, you know, we beat the Americans, and it's so stereotypical, like Canada beats America, and the hero of the game, Crosby, gets the goal. And it was just one of those things where it was just such a sudden goal. It was just such a shock that he scored right away, and it just, like, it literally just, this whole country just erupted, and it was such a wonderful feeling. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the yesterday should have been a day off for that, but hey, you know, it was a great Olympics, and we should never forget it. And so after the break, I'm joined by the lovely ladies from Tallulah Darling, and we're here to talk about their newest album. And so we're coming after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but coming up next, it's a song by My Darkest Days called Every Lie. You're listening to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pesco.
Stay. So run it by. Night, no, I won't stay. Friday night, I walk alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants, but then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23, and I still more abuse my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? But later on, drive home, I called her mom from a payphone. I said I was the cops and your husband's in jail. The state looks down on sodomy, and that's about the time that bitch hung up on me. Nobody likes you when you're 23, and I still more of these red paint phone calls. What the hell is call ID? My friends say I should have my age. What's my age again? What's my age again?
Welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm joined by the lovely members of Tallulah Darling. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Alora.
I'm Dee.
I'm Alex.
All right, so getting right into our little interview here, I just want to, you know how the name Tallulah Darling came about.
Well, we were talking to a label in Nashville, and we were originally called Daisy Chain, but they said that we should change it due to legal reasons, basically. And I came up with the name Tallulah Darling. It was based on the actress Tallulah Bankhead. She's a famous stage actress in the 30s. And
she was a cool gal.
She came up with the term darling. Like, she used to call everybody darling. And that's kind of how it happened.
Interesting. That's a different way of looking at it. And you guys describe yourselves as a pop rock band, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I read on the site there. So what has been your music, your biggest inspiration, like, musically for you guys as a group?
Probably just different people in our lives. People that we like and people that we don't really care for.
I saw that on your Facebook thing.
Definitely channeling our feelings towards the people around us.
And is that like kind of how you guys write songs too? It's just kind of like a more of a feeling based thing. You just like have some emotion, you want to write something down, or is it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of saying things you could never really say to somebody, which I
and get away with it.
Yeah, pretty basically.
So you guys, how did you guys all meet and decide, you know, I want to make a band?
Well, I started this band back in April, last April, and basically I've had different people. We've come replaced through. Everybody at least once, but I met Dee through a music teacher, and I met Alex on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And how was it like meeting someone on Craigslist? I've never done that, so.
I think I've done it so many times where I've just gotten used to it.
Which is pretty natural.
It's kind of like a dating site.
Pretty much.
Was it just like you went on there and you said, you know, I'm looking for, you know, someone who, you know, plays the guitar, or, you know, or someone who does drums. I'm looking for somebody like that. How did that go? Or did you just kind of put out a simple as, we need a band member? Like,
usually you do it to the specific need.
Specific need. And did you, Alex, go to Laura and say, you know, I want to be part of your band, or is it just kind of like you found each other just randomly?
I did, actually. Unfortunately, I have a neck injury, and one day I stopped feeling sorry for myself, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go and do something that I love, and then I found Laura's post, and
there you go. Now you guys
are told.
A happy happy group of band members. All right, so there's another girl in your band, but she's not here today, is that correct?
Yeah, we just got a new female drummer.
And did you find her on Craigslist too?
Yeah.
Really? So then how did you and Deanna meet?
Through a music teacher at Miriam Music.
Yeah, Miriam School of Music. Yeah.
That's the one on Winston Churchill, right?
Yeah. His name's Rich Hamlin.
And has he been important in you guys' career?
Well, they run a band shops program there, so that was sort of the first band I was in, and
yeah,
she did that too.
I did that as well.
So you guys have played around at different events and stuff. What's it like playing with other band members? Do you find it challenging, or is it sort of just a lot of fun and not really that hard at all?
Like with other bands?
Yeah, like do you guys find it like, you know, if the band goes on stage, you know, before you and they play like an entirely different genre of music, is it hard to kind of, you know, get the crowd into your type of music, or what's that like?
I always find we kind of fit in with mostly everything.
Yeah,
it's like metal bands, but
there's been some challenging like heavy metal bands for sure that it's a big difference when we come on, but I think we usually get good feedback just like being females. I think we stand out a little in the crowd.
So is there not many all female rock pop bands per se? Like obviously there's female pop bands, but rock,
none that
pop?
We've played with
none that we've played with.
And do you know why that is? It's just not really common.
I don't know. All-girl bands seem to be few and far between these days.
Yeah.
And when you guys go to shows, I mean, how does that process work? Like, where you guys get booked, or do you guys have, like, an agent or, like, a label that kind of helps you do that process, or?
We usually do it all ourselves right now, and basically either we'll get asked to do shows, or we'll go to them asking if they have anything open, or.
And, you know, when you go to ask them, is it kind of one of those things where like you have to be selective of where you pick to kind of go, or does it really matter?
Well, you kind of want to get in with the right group, so you're sort of in the same genre and you're like have the same goal basically,
right?
So
the sort of the list of bands kind of varies on whether you want to play at that show or not, or
yeah.
All right, perfect. So similar to another question we're gonna ask you later on, but like where do you guys kind of see yourself going in the future, like your band and long-term success, short-term success?
As much success as we can gain, I suppose. It's not like we're going to turn down success.
Obviously.
Basically take any opportunity that we have and just go with it.
Right.
Yeah, as long as we're happy doing it.
And I guess that, you know, you've gone through other band members, so I guess, like, you know, do you guys find it, has it been challenging to, you know, keep that happiness, that sort of, like, you know, easygoing pace in a group of three people?
Well, when you have the right people, it's easy to do, and then you have the not the right people, it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, I think it's something like unique about a band is you start to get really personal with each other. Like you do sort of become friends, and conflicts happen between friendships. So, yeah, we have struggled with that in the past.
Has that been your biggest challenge then? Is just kind of agreeing with other people in your band, or
yeah, finding a good fit.
Yeah.
So, okay, you guys released your latest EP. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Okay. We did it basically kind of as a demo for those songs. And we did it with a guy named Steve Ashley in Burlington. And I've worked with him for many years. He's been great to us. And we're just finishing up. We did a couple of songs with a producer named Brian Moncars. And those songs should be done in the next couple of days.
And will that be on the same EP as well?
No. They're going to be more singles more than anything.
More singles?
Yeah, just a couple of songs we're doing.
Do you guys ever see yourselves, I mean, obviously you probably aspire to, but do you guys ever see yourselves having a hit song or just a song that, you know, is played on the radio on a regular basis? Or
I'm 100% sure that will happen.
100% sure. You're pretty confident. Confidence is good, though. Confidence is good. Is that something you guys kind of, you know, is that what your goal is, to just kind of get, like, there? And
for sure.
Oh, yeah, so a similar question. What, like, individually, what do you guys, you know, have plans for the future, like, other than music, you know, I mean, school-wise? Do you have any other plans?
I'm not in school.
Yeah, I guess I'm in Guelph University studying psychology, so.
Perfect, and now Alex?
I'm just basically playing with the girls and recovering at a pace.
Recovering at a pace. That's good. That's always good. And you have an upcoming show on March 3rd?
Yeah, we're playing at the Elma Combo. We're on at 8:30.
Second floor.
Be there.
Where? And for people who don't know where that is in Toronto?
Yeah.
Spadina.
College in Spadina.
College in Spadina.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so just to kind of go through, like, what's the song? Like, what is it like to write a song? Like, give us the little details and, like, how you guys put a song together and what that's all about.
Well, I've been doing all the songwriting for now. And so basically I will come into practice with a song and we'll try to work out different parts and stuff, and for like the drums and the lead guitar and the bass, and just kind of work together that way.
And is it a difficult process or?
Not really. They tend to come together pretty easily.
And what inspires you to, you know, write songs? I mean, obviously we talked about, you know, like people you hate and people you don't hate. Is there other things too in life, just like random events that kind of inspire you, like, to write a song? Or is it mostly just sort of like a relationship between people that makes you write songs?
Kind of anything I'm strongly opinionated about and would never actually say, per se.
I'm very shy.
All right, Alora, so I've known you for a little bit of time, obviously. So you've done other singing in the past. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I've been doing solo stuff, just acoustic stuff, for about 5 years. Played a lot of shows and stuff on my own. But it's a lot more fun with a band.
So, yeah, obviously for Alex and Deanna, I don't know if you guys have you guys done other stuff before this band as well, or no?
I did. I sang in a choir for 7 years, and I toured Germany, Austria, and Holland.
Choir Olympics.
Yeah.
That's
pretty awesome.
We got bronze.
That's exciting. And Alex, have you done any music experience before?
Yeah, I was in a really hard rock kind of metal band before.
So you guys bring something unique to the table in
exactly.
Your own band. So, all right, so talk a little about the two songs that we're going to play for you here. You wanted the one song's called
Metal Heart.
Metal Heart, that's what it's called. And yeah, that's the one I'm going to play for sure. Tell me a little bit about that song, just, you know, in general.
Wrote that song a year ago, maybe, a couple years ago. And it was produced by Brian Moncars, again, who we're working with now. And, yeah.
Perfect. All right, so just before I play the songs, you guys are really, really accessible on, like, Twitter and Facebook and all that. How do people get a hold of you, just so that if they don't know already?
www.myspace.com/TallulahDarling, and then there's different links on there, or on Twitter and
Reverb Nation,
and
Facebook,
whatnot.
Of course.
I tend to forget because we're on a lot.
YouTube too. Even. YouTube.
Now who does all the managing of all the social networking pages?
I do.
That would be Laura.
Yeah.
Do you find that time consuming?
Not really. I enjoy it.
Do you think, obviously, I hate to even mention his name, but, you know, Justin Bieber being a prime example of what social media can do for an artist. Do you think it's obviously helped you guys in your career? And how has social networking sort of helped you guys go forward as a band?
Well, it's definitely helped because you can get your music out to people who would never hear it otherwise, and it's just so much more accessible to people. Yeah. So you don't have to go to a store or, you know.
Do you find that, like, have you guys don't have a label, I'm going to assume, right? Mm-hmm. Do you find that you don't necessarily need a label in today because of social networking, or?
Yeah, well, just the way the industry is right now, you can be very successful and not have a label, basically doing it all independently. And there's been a lot of people that have done it that way.
Is that more more of an easier route to go for other artists? Like, just go on YouTube, put out your stuff, and, you know, you're kind of good to go, or as opposed to, like,
there's a lot more work going into that too, because you're basically have to do everything yourself. So you have to do all the shows and then, like, managing your money and all, like,
yeah,
tours,
I think the
booking
shows
tours
are important. Like, I feel like it's not just putting it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the shows are the work. Funnest part, right?
Yeah.
Word of mouth is a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
Word of mouth is a very powerful thing. So doing the shows, what do you guys enjoy most about doing the shows then? It's probably an obvious question, but...
Well, I've been performing my entire life, so I used to do competitive figure skating and dance, and I just love performing. And
yeah.
Just being in front of a crowd.
And the thrill of being in front of a crowd obviously motivates you guys.
Yeah.
Seeing people
like enjoying what you're doing too and kind of connecting with you in that way.
Perfect, perfect. So have you guys been interviewed by any other radio stations or anything else, any other media networks before, or is this like your first time on the radio?
This is our first one as a band.
Perfect, perfect. All right, so yeah, we're going to play the song Metal Heart, and then is there another song? Like, I know I was listening to Separation Anxiety, it's a pretty interesting song as well. Do you guys want to play that one as well?
Sure, whatever you
sure,
want.
Sure, why not?
Perfect, all right, so it's 8:15 here, so we're going to play Metal Heart coming up right now.
Drown your name in the sand, and it was one thing, one thing.
All right, so that was Metal Heart. And the next song we're going to play is Separation Anxiety. So coming right up is Separation Anxiety. All right, so that was Separation Anxiety by Tallulah Darling, and I'd like to thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun. And next week, I'm not having a show next week, I don't think, so you'll have to listen on March 15th. I believe that's the following week that we'll be having a show. It will be Radio Nation 18. I'm in the States. I'm pretty sure I'm in the States on this past since next week. So, yeah, again, I'd like to thank you guys for coming in. It's been a lot of fun, and that's it for Radio Nation. Stay tuned 2 weeks from now. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescott, and have a good night.